All right, everyone. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. And I do appreciate you all for being with us. Want to apologize for that silence that you had for a while there. There was a computer glitch and we had to have someone come in and resolve that for us. And I appreciate you having waited around until we got it resolved. Believe me when I say the wait was well worth it. You are going to be glad you hung around because a lot of you are interested in love, whether it's because love is working for you or whether it's because it's not working for you. You're interested in love. Some of you would like to know how you can take something that's good and make it better. Some of you would like to take something that's not good and make it good. Well, you are in just the right place to hear how you can get that done. You know how we can have a whole lot of stuff going on inside of us that we don't know about, at least not on a conscious level, and it can be messing things up for us. Isn't it great how life works that way sometimes? Well, here's the thing. If we don't know what's going on, we can't fix it. You're here today to find out how to get stuff fixed on the inside where it matters most. And joining us to have that discussion is the great psychologist, our guest, yours and mine, who has informed us so well previously and is here to do it again, the lovely Dr. Lisa Firestone. Dr. Firestone, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Carl. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure, and I appreciate you for having devoted so much of your life to helping people where it counts the most, and that is with regards to relationships.
Well, I do think that is one of the most important things that, you know, it really makes or breaks kind of our happiness in life, you know, how our relationships are going. So I do think it's like a very important area to put focus in.
So for the benefit, Dr. Firestone, of the people who have not heard any of our prior discussions, would you share more about your background and how you came to use your skills and particularly your academic training to move you into the area primarily of working with people who are having relationship problems?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in relationships and how they work, and, you know, I had the good fortune to grow up with a father who was a psychologist, and so I started thinking about these things young. And also, you know, more than just being a psychologist, he was a person who, you know, really has an uncanny, he does have an uncanny ability to love and to show that emotion, and so that's been really formative for me. But I really think that it's just such an important area. So, you know, I've gotten to write books on the subject with him, including a book on sex and love and intimate relationships. And he wrote a book that I think is really important, which is called Fear of Intimacy. Because I think, like you said, we all want love in our lives, and we want to figure out how to do it in a way that's going to make it really work for us. And, you know, to really maintain it for the long haul, you know, having not only a relationship that lasts, but one where it stays fulfilling and loving and caring, you know, for the long time. You know, not just have a lot of years for the sake of years, but where you really have the quality. And, you know, that's really where we focused our attention. And I think that, you know, that fear of intimacy is a lot of what interferes, and it's not something people are really all that aware of. You know, they think they just want love and that it would just be easy if they could just have it, if they could just find the right partner or get their partner to behave the right way. But there's a lot of things we do to get those bad reactions from our partner, to interfere with really having a loving relationship, even though we're unaware of it. And so I thought that that was a really important thing for people to understand so they could really achieve what they want, which is those long-term loving relationships.
And you mentioned that we're definitely... And for those of you who are going to be with us, know this. We are really going to be going into detail about fear of intimacy. Dr. Firestone is really, really going to help us understand what that's about. But before we go there, Dr. Firestone, one of the things I've been wondering is what you found with regards to relationships, what makes them work, what causes them to break down, et cetera. Do you find that some of the same truths or the same truths apply regardless of gender, or does it apply, do these matters apply primarily to one gender? Do they apply across ethnic lines? do they seem to hold true for certain ethnicities, nationalities, age groups?
No, I think that, you know, I think the stereotype in our society anyhow is that, you know, men have more problems with intimacy than women. And I think that's just not true in my experience at all. I think that the biggest thing that gets in the way of close relationships for both men and women is what we bring to our relationships from the past. And, you know, if we haven't really freed ourselves or made sense of the things that happened to us growing up and in our past, then we really struggle in relationships. We struggle to have that intimacy, partly because the models that we get, the internal working models, if you will, these ideas in our head about how relationships go, how I'm supposed to behave, how my partner's supposed to behave, how men are supposed to behave, how women are supposed to behave, whatever it might be, have a lot to do with the messages we got early on. And also the ways we learned to adapt to whatever our early environment was. You know, we obviously made the best adaptation we possibly could as a child to the environment we were born into, and that's what humans do. We're very, very adaptive creatures. So whatever we're given, we work with it. It takes us some time. We don't like change, but we do manage to adjust to it. But the issue is that when we've had less than ideal models of how relationships go, both by how our parents treated each other or other relationship partners they had in their life, and also how they interacted with us. Those things give us these models of how relationships go. And if we don't make sense of those things, we have trouble having good relationships. So we tend to idealize our parents and want to think the best of them, sometimes especially our mothers. I think they get kind of a more exalted place sometimes in our mind. But the reality is that our mothers and our fathers are real people. And the degree to which they struggled with their own feelings about themselves, with their ability to relate in close relationships, they influence us. You know, their ability to be close to us or be available to us emotionally really leave us with leftover feeling. And the good news is it turns out it's not how bad your childhood was or, you know, that's not what predicts how you're going to parent. That's not what predicts how you're going to do in relationships. It's whether you felt the full pain of that childhood and made sense of it. It turns out that by making sense of the past, we can really free ourselves. And that's a really important piece of information. So it's not like, oh, well, it was this way, so the rest of my life is going to go that way. No, it's really what I do with that information, how I make sense of it, that's really going to influence my life going forward.
So do you find then that a lot of people who tend to be in one relationship after another that doesn't work well, or maybe in one relationship for a lengthy period of time and it's not working well, are often, if indeed there was something about their past that makes it difficult for them to be able to contribute positively to a relationship, are they unaware often of what was instilled in them that makes it difficult for them? Or do they usually tend to at least have some idea of what went wrong with regards to the model that was put before them, and they just don't know what to do?
Right. I think that, you know, I think that those models influence us in lots of ways we're not conscious of, including the partners we're drawn to. So I was talking to a woman patient of mine this morning, and, you know, she got into a very long-term marriage that lasted, I think it was 17 years, something like that, you know, pretty long time, and she's not the one who ended it either, to somebody who was incredibly depressed, somebody who could hardly contribute at all to the relationship, actually, even show up or get out of bed, you know, and, you know, yet she's stuck in there and stuck in there and stuck in there. It's interesting. He's finally ended it now, but he's still not happy. I mean, that didn't make him happy either. But, you know, she didn't really realize or think about the fact. One of the things she was talking about this morning is that in her family, nobody ever said, I love you. You know, they never showed a lot of warmth or affection. And she found a relationship partner who didn't do that either. And she had a high tolerance for it because of her past and was willing to stick in there, but she wasn't happy, and neither was he. And, you know, her tendency now, even starting to date again, is, you know, those sort of, you know, more quiet, sullen types who aren't going to say they love you. And she's almost setting herself up again. And when we talked about it and I mentioned that, you know, it had this link to her, to her family, she was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about that, you know. So sometimes it's the things we don't think about But there's also ways that we know that we have this tendency to pick the wrong person, or once we get into a relationship, then we're not happy with the person anymore, or we tend to pull away. So sometimes there's things we know about and are aware of, but then there's these ones that are just much more unconscious that are influencing us from our past. And, you know, part of what we're trying to do to help people look at that is we're developing an actual e-course on how to sort of look at your past. We're calling it Making Sense of Your Story to Understand Your Past and Liberate Your Present and Empower Your Future. So really helping people by sort of combing through their memories and doing some writing about their past, just, you know, spontaneously, emotionally, with certain prompts, to really look at what were those stories and what were those messages we got around, you know, is it safe to be close to another person? Can I feel like I'm going to get soothed when I need to by my partner? Am I really seen by my partner for who I really am? Because even if you have a parent that really loves you, if they love you because they have a fantasy of who you are, because you're the greatest baseball player, or because you're the smartest kid in the class, or, you know, that doesn't really feel like love, because that's a lot of pressure.
Yes. And that's almost more about the parent than it is about the child. When we come back,
absolutely,
could you share with us even more of what you've already shared with us when it comes to warmth and love that may not have been experienced by someone when they were children, when they were a child, and let us know when we come back the answer to this question. From what you have learned in working with people and from your research, do you find that people who did not experience much love and warmth as children tend to still want it as adults? Can we talk about that when we come back?
Yeah, we can definitely talk about that. You got it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, the great psychologist, the great family and relationship builder, Dr. Lisa Firestone, and I will be right back.